All right, so how many of you watched the Olympics this summer? Oh, quite a few of you. Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. How many of you know how many sports were in the Summer Olympics? Raise your hand if you know how many sports, how many different kinds of sports were in the Summer Olympics. Do you know? Does anybody know? 33. 33 different sports. And within those sports, do you have any idea how many gold medals were given out? Like, how many, because, okay, so in the sport of athletics, which is track and field, there were a lot of medals, right? So how many gold medals do you think were given out in the Summer Olympics? Do you know? That's too low. He said 150. 230, still low. Not quite 1,000. Do you know? There were 339 possibilities for gold medals. And guess what? I actually saw one sport where there were two gold medalists. So that means there actually were 340 given out, right? That was a really interesting thing to watch. Two people choose to share the gold medal. Okay, another question. Do you know what some of the new sports were that were added this year? Back there. Yep, you. Skateboarding was a new sport. You're right. Not a new sport, but a new Olympic sport. What about you?
Cheerleading.
Well, I don't think that this was the very first year. It may not have been in for a while, but that was not considered one of the new ones.
Like some kind of karate?
Karate was, yes.
Surfing?
Surfing was, yes. Well, it was those three, plus they re-added softball and baseball. Okay? All right. Maybe two more questions. Do you know how many nations sent athletes to the Summer Olympics this year? How many nations sent athletes?
144.
You're low. He said 144. Ruby? What did you say? You are very, very close. There were 205 nations plus, and this one I never knew, there was a team of refugees. Do you guys know what a refugee is?
No.
A refugee is someone who has to leave their country because it's no longer safe for them to be there. And they live in a different nation. And so there was actually a team of refugees from several different places who came together as a team and sent athletes to the Olympics. I never knew that that is a thing, but I thought that was really special because you know what? God's heart is for every nation on this earth. He loves each and every nation. And I just thought it was really, really cool that on that world platform, there was a group of refugees. Okay, so I'm asking you these questions, right? Because the Olympics was kind of a big deal. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, I used to watch the Olympics on a little black and white TV. I didn't grow up with a TV. My family didn't have a TV, but we would borrow a TV for the Olympics and the World Series. So those were just kind of special times for us to watch sports. We enjoyed sports. When I was young, I played basketball. I know I'm short, you don't need to point it out, but I went to a small school and there was a need for every warm body on the court, so I played basketball. I grew up on a farm and my dad put a basketball net at the feed silo where we had the chicken feed. And he mounted it to the framework of where the feed silos were. And that was where I would practice. I had grass. I didn't have macadam. So I couldn't practice dribbling as well, right? But I could practice shooting. So I would go down there and I would practice taking shots at the spot that my dad had set up for me. How many of you practice a sport? So if you're practicing and I should have brought my daughter's soccer ball. If you're practicing and you're just kind of dribbling the ball and you dribble down one time with your feet, or maybe you're practicing basketball and you just dribble this short distance and then you're like, all right, I'm done practicing for today. Are you going to get better at what you're doing? Are you going to develop skills that you need to play the game well? No, because practice means doing it over and over and over again, doing it regularly, doing it every day so that you can grow in your skills and get better at what you're doing, right? So guess what? When we practice things, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes discipline, and it helps us grow. There's a verse in 1 Timothy. It says this, 1 Timothy 4:8, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. See, we can enjoy watching the Olympics, and we can watch all those athletes who obviously have spent a lot of time practicing, practicing, practicing. When they make a mistake, they don't give up. They keep practicing. And what are they doing it for? I mean, I guess a gold medal is a pretty big deal, isn't it? And all the others that are there, even who don't get medals, it's a big deal to make it there, right? So when they practice and they put all of this energy and time into a prize. But is this prize going to go with them after this life? No, it's not. They might be well known for a short period of time until the next best athlete comes along or the next person breaks the world record, and then they're forgotten. All for just a little moment in this time. But what is this verse saying? This verse says, physical training is good. Everyone say, physical training is good.
Physical training is good.
Oh yeah, just one thumb. We'll try it again. Physical training is good. One thumbs up. But training for godliness is much better. Two thumbs up. Okay. Physical training is good. Go ahead and repeat after me. But training for godliness is much better. Yes, because training for godliness promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. And that is from 1 Timothy 4:8. So what Paul was saying to Timothy is it's okay to train our physical bodies. It's good for us to be in good health, but it's much, much better to train ourselves for godliness. Do you guys know what godliness means? What does godliness mean? Because that's kind of a big word, and if we don't understand that, then we don't understand the verse. What is godliness? Well, let's see if we can work on that a little bit. What does it mean to have godliness?
Like being kind and being like God and like being like Jesus. And
okay, yes. So having the character of Jesus, having the character of God in our lives, right? So godliness is when we have the character of God in our lives. We will never be God. But his desire is that we will become more like him in our character. And that when people see us and they see our godliness, they'll be pointed to him, right? So training for sports is good. But training to become like God in our character is much better. Because that has a benefit for this life and the life to come. So how do we practice that? Let me just pull this back so I can walk over to the boys' side too. How do we practice godliness? How do we practice that? There's a couple things that I want to suggest this morning. One is we want to practice being aware of God and being in His presence. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I love to just worship and be in the presence of God. But what does it actually mean to be in the presence of God? So if I am in the presence of somebody, I'm with them. In the natural, I am in your presence this morning. Was I in your presence yesterday?
No,
I wasn't here yesterday. Will I be in your presence tomorrow?
No,
I'm not planning to be here tomorrow. But I'm in your presence today because I'm in the same room with you. So in the natural world, if you are in someone's presence, you are with them, right beside them. You can see them with your natural eyes. You can hear them with your natural ears. But we all know that we can't see God with these eyes. And we don't usually hear God with these ears, right? But yet we also read in Scripture that when we make the decision to follow Jesus and when we are walking in His ways, we believe in Him, we believe that He is who He said He is, that God raised Him from the dead, we've asked Him to cleanse us from our sins, the Holy Spirit is given to us and He is in us and He is with us everywhere we go. So that means we're in the presence of God everywhere we go, not just at camp, right? But we don't always think about that. How many of you think about that when you're on the school bus on the way to school? Oh, I'm in the presence of God here in my seat. We don't always remember that we're in God's presence, right? So part of this practicing godliness is practicing being aware of God with us and what God is doing around us in our everyday lives. Not just at camp, not just at church, not just at Bible school or at youth group, but everywhere we go. So earlier this summer, my husband and I took a group of youth down to West Virginia for a missions trip. And one of the, it was through YWAM, so we had like some chapel times, and then we had opportunities to go out and serve in the community and tell people about Jesus. So during one of the chapel times, one of the speakers was encouraging us to be aware of God's presence with us, just like I'm encouraging you right now. And he said one of the things that he did to help train himself was he put a penny in his shoe. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have something in your shoe, if I have something in my shoe, it's like it's uncomfortable. Maybe a penny isn't as bad as a stone. But if I have something in my shoe, I feel it when I walk. If I'm going to run up the stairs at home because I'm trying to put laundry away or something like that, I'm going to feel that in my shoe. So that was what he chose to do to help him remember that God's always with him and to talk to God all throughout the day. He put a penny in his shoe, and every time he was walking and it felt a little bit uncomfortable, he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you, God, that you're here with me. What do you want to say right now? Or what are you doing, God? Who can I bless? Or how's it going in this part of my city? What do you want to do here? And just that penny reminded him to talk to God, to practice being aware of God's presence. Because you guys are having an awesome week, and tonight is going to be amazing. But you're going to go home. And in the next couple weeks, you're going to go back to school. You're going to go back home to your siblings. You're going to have everyday life again. And so what are you going to do to remember this week?
Stick a penny in my shoe.
And make a difference in how you live at home in everyday life, right? So if you stick a penny in your shoe, whatever it is, there's nothing magical about a penny, but it's something to help you stop and remember, God is with me. What is He doing? How can I talk to Him? How can I see what He's doing around me? All right, so that's one way to practice being in God's presence. What's another way you can practice being in God's presence? Any other ideas? You can go to camp, right? And you can just soak in His presence here at camp. What's another thing you can do?
You can put post-it notes around your house
Excellent. I like that idea. You could put post-it notes around your house. Actually, I have my daughter, my youngest daughter, has post-it notes all on the back of her door. And sometimes after she goes to school, I go into her room and I just read them, because it's Bible verses and it's different things that she's written to remind herself of God's faithfulness, to remind herself of who God says she is, to remind herself of truth. And I like to go in and read them because it's encouraging for me. Post-it notes are great. You could stick it on the mirror. You can put it in different places. What else can you do to practice being with God? You can pray, absolutely. And you know what's really cool? You can pray wherever you are. It doesn't just have to be at church, right? Or just in your bedroom. You can pray everywhere, anywhere, any time of the day. What else can we do? Excellent. I like that. You can set a reminder on your phone to talk to God. Absolutely. Just like a, you know, random 8:32 in the morning, right? Yeah. And then when that alarm goes off, it's like, oh, yes, I want to talk to God. Another idea. You can read the Bible. Absolutely. Because the Bible is God's gift, one of his gifts to us. And I want to tell you guys something. The more you learn and memorize when you are young, the more impact it will have in your life. When I was young, I memorized a lot of verses because I went to a Christian school, so I had to. I know some of you might not have that requirement, but those verses are still with me today. So even if you don't have a requirement at school, take time. Ask your children's pastor. Ask your parents. Ask somebody to help you find good verses to memorize or to write on post-it notes or to put on your screen of your phone, right? It takes making intentional choices, but we can do it. We can learn to be in God's presence, to remember that he is with us. We can train ourselves to be with him. Okay. What's another thing we can practice? There's another. So first of all, we can practice being aware of God and being in his presence. Second of all, I want to encourage you guys to practice doing what is right. You're learning a lot of stuff this week. A lot of really good stuff. But if we just learn it up here and fill our brains with good stuff, but we don't actually act on it, it's kind of a problem, isn't it? Did you guys know that Jesus said, if you really love me, you will read the whole Bible all the way through and you'll remember every Bible story and you'll be able to answer all of the questions. Is that what he said? No. Jesus said, if you really love me, you will do what? Does anybody know? Back there. Obey. Absolutely. If you really love me, you will obey my commandments. If you really love me, you will do what I'm telling you to do. If you really love Jesus, you will walk in his ways. You will do the things that Jesus did. And that is how your friends will know you love Jesus. What does that actually look like when you're sitting on the bus? Or when you're in your classroom? Or when you're on a sports team? Or when you're around the dinner table with your siblings? What does it actually mean? What does it look like to obey the commandments of Jesus? Do you guys have any ideas? You guys have been, boy, the boys are full of ideas today. This is great. What does it look like to follow in the ways of Jesus?
It would look like not sinning, not disobeying.
Okay. Not disobeying your parents.
Yeah. Not
disobeying the bus driver, yeah? Not
teachers.
Okay, obeying your teachers and the people that God has put in authority over you. All right, what about back there? Don't talk back. So following in the ways of Jesus means I watch what I say. Do you have an idea?
Do what you're told to do.
Okay, obey. Do what you're told to do or instructed to do. Respect authority. Respect God. Be kind. That's actually a really, really, really hard one to do sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be kind to others. It doesn't just say to be kind to some people. It doesn't just say be kind to your best friend, but it doesn't matter about the others that you don't really like. It doesn't say be kind to your cousins, but not your siblings. It says be kind to everyone. That means we have to make choices. Okay, you can put your hands down. Learning to do what is right. Practicing doing what is right. I want to tell you a quick story. Ooh, my. I got to watch my clock. It's good the clock is really big back there, Brother Gertie.
So we ran late, so take your time.
Okay, so I want to tell you a story. There's a whole book in the Bible about a man and his three friends. So this man, Daniel, and his three friends were taken into captivity. So they were taken away from their homes, they were taken to a new land, and they were put into a school that was going to train them to be to work for the king of this new land. All right, how many of you have three friends? Okay. Do your friends help you do what is right? Do they encourage you to obey God and do what is right? That's good. They're good friends. Then you keep those friends, okay? So we have Daniel and his three friends. And so they went and they were in this program that was training them to be servants of the king, to work for the king. And the king had all this food that he was feeding them. But there was one problem. The food that the king was feeding to them included things that were against the law for them to eat. Some of that food had been offered to idols. Some of the wine or the drink had been offered to idols. And according to God's law, that was not acceptable for them. Now, they were far away from home. Their moms and dads weren't there watching them to see what decision they would make. But they had a choice if they were going to do what was right according to God, or if they were going to submit and do what was right just according to the new land and the new king where they now were. So they had to choose. What are we going to do? Daniel asked the person who was in charge of them, can we please just eat vegetables and drink water? I'm not saying everyone has to just eat vegetables and drink water, but Daniel was looking for a way to be able to still obey God and do what was right. So he asked this person in charge. The person was a little bit concerned. He was afraid that the king would get upset. So he said, I'll give you a 10-day trial. Everyone say 10 days. So for 10 days, they ate vegetables and they drank water. And guess what? At the end of those 10 days, they were healthier than the other people. So the man in charge said, well, that went really well. You can continue doing that. So for the 3 years that they were in training, they had their vegetables and water. Now, we might think, oh, that's kind of like, you know, if you're going to a new land, why don't you just do the things the way the king there wants you to do them? But guess what? They practiced doing what was right, even when it was a small thing. You know, like, it's kind of like these little weights. These little weights don't really do a whole lot, right? But they help me a little bit. I'm not extremely strong, so I wouldn't be able to start off with big weights like the set that my son has in our basement. I have to start with little things. But if I start with little things, I can get stronger. They did what was right in the small things, and God blessed them. I want to read a couple verses from Daniel chapter 1. To these four men, Daniel and his three friends, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand dreams and visions of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king, to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel and his three friends. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the others that went through the same training. God gave them favor because they were obedient to him. Okay? In the little things, they practiced doing what was right, even though mom and dad were not there, even though everything was different. They did what was right in the eyes of God. Okay, so then they had a bigger test. Do you guys know what the three names are of Daniel's friends? Anyone? Do you know? Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they had a bigger test, didn't they? They practiced doing what was right in the little things of making sure that they were eating food that was according to God's laws and not just according to the culture they were in. And then they had a bigger test, right? What was the bigger test for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Someone who hasn't answered yet. Back here, the what's up shirt. What was it? You are exactly right. The king set up a big idol in the middle of a field, and he invited people from all over the kingdom. You guys, that was the largest kingdom on the earth at that time. That kingdom was huge. It would have taken people days and days and days to travel from one end of the kingdom to come to this festival. It was like a party. It was a big festival, and the king had it all set up. And he had musicians there. And he said, when you hear the music, you need to bow down to this statue. It was a big deal. Now, there's no mention of Daniel in this chapter. Many scholars believe that Daniel was on a trip, on a mission for the king in another part of the land. He's not mentioned here. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there in the city at the time of this festival. And they had a choice to make. What was their choice? Would they do what was right, or would they bow down to the pressure of the king? Right? They could have, you know, everyone was standing, and then when the music played, everyone bowed down. They could have just made themselves a little smaller, right? So that they wouldn't be noticed. They weren't really bowing down to the idol. They just weren't standing up. They just were kind of hiding. Right?
No.
So sometimes when we do something wrong and our mom says, did you take that cookie? You could be like, well, my sister gave it to me. Right? Is that truth? When you turn truth a little bit, what's it called? A lie. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, maybe they were tempted. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that they stood strong when they were tempted to do what was wrong. And so the king got angry, and he said, make the furnace hotter. And he gave him another chance. He said, maybe you guys don't understand the instructions. How about you go try it again? When the music plays, we bow down. That's how we do it here. And they said, we don't even need to go out to the field again. We have determined to do what is right, no matter what happens. Even if our God does not save us, which he can, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow to your idol. See, boys and girls, that was a big, big test, right? But they had practiced doing what was right so many times over the years that when they got to the big test, they passed. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? We don't always get it right. Sometimes we make mistakes. We call that sin. But we have a really merciful God. And so when we sin, we ask him to forgive us. He cleanses us, and he helps us again. And we get to try again. But keep practicing doing what is right. Even in school. Okay, maybe you study hard for a test, and then you've studied so hard, and the test is going so well, and all of a sudden, on the second to last question, you get a mental block. Oh man, I can't remember. Is it 1825 or 1822? And you know the smartest person is sitting beside you. It's really tempting to figure out a way to remind yourself what the right answer is, right? What's that called? That's called cheating. It's not just reminding yourself of the right answer by looking at someone else's paper. Practice doing the right thing, even in the little things. And I know it's time to be finished, but Daniel also had a big test. And you guys know his big test, right? How many, some of you might not, and I'm sorry, I don't want to assume that we've all heard all these stories. So what was Daniel's big test? Daniel had a big, big test. There was a new king in town. And by the way, by the time this story happened, you guys can put your hands down because I'm going to actually try to say it really, really fast. By the time this story happened, Daniel was older than Brother Gertie.
Oh.
He was. He was an old man. And there was a new king in town, and the new king made a new law. And the new law was that you could only worship and bow down to the king. For 30 days, you weren't allowed to worship anybody else, anything else, only the king for 30 days. And Daniel had a choice to make. Now, there's something interesting about Daniel. Daniel had been practicing being in God's presence for a long, long time. The Bible says that every day Daniel would go to his window. He would open his window and he would pray 3 times a day. Boys and girls, he had been practicing being with God for a long time. How many days are in a year? 365. And some every 4 years there's 366, right? For days and days, for thousands of days. For lots of years, Daniel had been practicing doing what was right. So he had a choice. Am I going to bow to the king for 30 days, or am I going to continue to pray to the God of heaven? What did Daniel choose? What did he choose? To continue to pray to the God of heaven, right? He could have hid behind his bed. You know, far from the window where nobody would see him. But apparently, he didn't. Apparently, he continued to do what he had been doing day after day after day. He opened his window and he prayed. He bowed down and he prayed to God. He knew he was going to be seen. He knew he was going to get caught. But God's law was more important to him. And so he was faithful to God. We know, some of us might know the way the story ends. Let me just quickly tell you. Daniel was caught because he prayed to God. He was thrown into a pit full of hungry lions. Everyone say, roar. Oh, you're not hungry. Try it again. Roar. All right, these were hungry lions. They hadn't been fed by the zookeeper that day. Probably hadn't been fed for several days. They were hungry, and Daniel got thrown into that lion's den, and guess what God did? He sent angels to shut the mouths of those lions. When Daniel came out of the lion's den the next morning, he didn't even have a scratch on his body. But Daniel chose to be obedient to God, even though he didn't know God was going to send the angels, but he knew that it was more important to be obedient to God. Boys and girls, I want you to close your eyes real quick, okay? We're just going to end our time together with a short prayer. See, the amazing thing about God is not only is he holy, not only does he have a standard for us to live by, but he is also the one who helps us do what is right. Do you guys realize that? Not only is God holy, you guys have been talking about his holiness, not only does he give us the Bible and the standard that feels impossible, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit so that we have the power and the strength to obey him. That's pretty awesome. So let's just pray together. You guys can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please give me a desire to know you. Give me an awareness of your presence everywhere I go. And dear Jesus, please give me the strength to obey. Please give me the courage to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.